follow Jesus together into the neighborhood, travel lightly. This is what the Episcopal Task Force on Reimagining the Episcopal Church came up with as they looked at today's gospel passage and they tried to summarize our call as followers of Jesus' way in simple, everyday language. It's a call to follow Jesus into our neighborhoods, letting go of the baggage that distracts us and shields us from the relationships and the adventures that God has in store for us. I am here today because a woman named Pam followed Jesus into my neighborhood and met me where I was at when I was 14 years old. At that point, I was an old soul, 14 going on 40, and I had a lot of questions about the meaning of life. I believed in God, but I had no idea who Jesus was or what he taught or stood for. The only time I heard his name, and I was raised in Southern California, was when people were referring to the people on the beach who handed out pamphlets, and they referred to them as Jesus freaks. So I've only heard the name Jesus associated with the word freak. My family went to a Unitarian church for a little under 2 years, and I have to admit to you today, I went for the donuts. My mom was always on a diet, and we never had any good junk food in the house, and I just loved the glazed donuts. So that is honestly, should be telling the truth in church. That is why I got up on Sunday morning. My dad came from a line of Midwestern Protestants who attended Methodist, Disciples of Christ, and Presbyterian churches in the towns where they lived. And my mother's German Lutheran mother and father from an Orthodox Jewish family eloped around the time of the Second World War. Many of our friends and the people we socialized with in San Diego were Jewish. And my parents encouraged me to, quote, find the truth for yourself, end quote. I went to church with the two people who invited me, and all I remember is a Sunday school session where they passed around a crown of thorns and we had to touch it, and that just seemed really strange to me. Preaching at or to me about who Jesus is and was would never have worked. His message and why it mattered would have seemed really far removed and strange. What was most powerful for me was to experience Jesus' way embodied in the life of a person, embodied in the life of one of Jesus' faithful followers. Pam was Christ to me. She was loving, giving, joyful, generous, and full of purpose. In her, I saw someone who gave her life to be present to teenagers like me. She not only taught me and my peers how to pray and introduced us to scripture and theological reflection, meaning just thinking about what God might be up to in our lives, community, and world, she also introduced us to a life of service, of sharing our lives, our gifts, and even our meager financial resources at that point, these things that God had given us with others. I especially remember traveling with her to an orphanage in Tijuana and cleaning that orphanage out. I had never seen living spaces that were so filthy. They were filled with dirt and lots of chicken feathers, and we cleaned those out, and we shared food with the kids. They especially loved the oranges, and we gave them endless piggyback rides. But she just introduced me to different opportunities like that to serve that were so meaningful, and where I got to be in relationship with people from different walks of life. After she left San Diego, Pam went to Los Angeles to be friends with and love inner city teens. I later found out that this squeaky clean woman from Knoxville, Tennessee, who couldn't stand the smell of cigarette smoke, hung out at what was called Smoker's Rock at an inner city LA high school to get to know and be present to the group of teens who hung out there. Talk about being vulnerable. Pam was a wonderful listener and a committed friend. This is just what I and so many of my peers hungered for, a trusted older mentor who was not our parent. And I know many of you have filled that role in other young people's lives, and I'm so grateful for that. Pam came to my tennis matches and listened to my questions, struggles, and hopes. And about a year into our relationship, she said to me, "Blair, do you believe in God?" I'm a Christian today because I experienced God's love through Pam and because of the way of life she introduced me to. It's the way of Jesus, and it's radical, powerful, countercultural, and life-changing. Some of the reasons why I find Jesus' way so compelling that I'm willing to stake my life on it include God's grace. God's love can't be earned. Imagine that. We are killing ourselves, trying to work harder and harder to be pure and righteous in so many areas of our lives, including the products we consume, how we raise our children, how we do our jobs, how we present ourselves on social media, and the foods we eat. The gospel tells us that we don't have to work harder and be purer than everybody else to be loved by God. This doesn't mean that our lives won't need to bear fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians in our reading last week. Love, joy, patience, peace, generosity, self-control. The fruit of our lives is a manifestation of our spiritual health. Forgiveness. If we're truly sorry and confess the ways we've worked to harm or keep ourselves separate from God and others, and if we repent, meaning turning 180 degrees and changing our lives, we can have a new start and God will forgive us. When we screw up, we can have a new slate. Think about all the people in our society who have messed up, from ethical violations to being unable to pay a traffic ticket, and that they have to live with no opportunity to change their lives or be forgiven. Our society says, once a screw-up, always a screw-up. The gospel of Jesus Christ says something very different. All people are precious children of God. Sin or separation from God and others is sadly part of the fabric of creation. Jesus came to bring forgiveness and reconciliation so that we wouldn't have to live forever separated from God and others. Jesus brought healing and new life. He noticed and reached out to the people who were shunned and cut off from community in his day, encouraging us to do the same in ours. He had integrity, spoke the truth, and freed his followers to live for others. God is a community of love. And in our isolated, individualistic, lonely, depressed age, God is constantly reaching out to us and all people, offering community and purpose. God's kingdom or reign includes people from every tribe and nation, symbolizing the reconciled diversity that's part of God's very nature. The 70 followers that are mentioned in our gospel not only indicates that Jesus is inviting more than his 12 disciples to go out into the neighborhood and to share God's life and hope with others. That 70 references Genesis chapter 10, in which the 70 nations listed symbolize all the nations of the world. God's kingdom is global and expansive. And I think the global nature of our faith community is one of the things I treasure most about St. Matthew's, that we are a neighborhood church with a worldwide community. There is abundance of love and resources for all people. There is spiritual abundance, and that spiritual abundance is related to God's provision for all. God's people are called to companion those who are struggling, to help them experience the abundant life God desires for them, and to help them meet their basic needs for shelter, food, education, and work so they can live with dignity. The fact that Jesus died on the cross outside the gates of Jerusalem highlights the fact that God is in the most forgotten and abandoned people and places, and with us in the most difficult moments in our lives. Jesus' resurrection means that nothing can separate us from God, not even death. And last but not least, identity is conferred by God. It's not something to be made up or fashioned on social media. In God's realm, relationships are committed rather than fluid. These are just a few of the reasons why I'm a follower of the way of Jesus. What about you? How has God touched your life? What people have been important to you in your spiritual journey? And why are you a Christian or interested in this particular way of life? I'm an Episcopal Christian because I love Episcopal worship and especially the Eucharist. When I receive communion each week, I have an experience of participating in God's life in community with you. And I also appreciate being part of a community of faith where I can use my mind, where questions are important and valued. Jesus asks his followers to share life with others, extend his peace to people, share meals with them, and bring healing and hope. He also asks us to travel lightly so that our stuff doesn't become our primary preoccupation or keep us from being vulnerable to others. In the silence that follows, I want you to think about the people you're already sharing life with and who you might be called to share life with more deeply. What is one relationship where you might bring peace or healing in your daily life? Amen.